Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. I am Brandon Peoples. Recently, I had a chance to speak with some Fort Riley soldiers who were members of the Forward Assessment Sustainment Teams sent out to help with COVID-19-related hotspots across the country. In order to support Department of Defense medical teams deployed to cities across the country at the request of local governments, these FAST teams were sent. FAST stands for Forward Assessment Sustainment Teams. There were three teams from the 1st Infantry Division that went to Detroit, Dallas, and Baton Rouge, Louisiana, as well as Chicago. And we'll talk about that here coming up with these four guests. You'll hear first from Brigade Commander Colonel Brian Olson, Major Aaron Reedy, whose team was sent to the Baton Rouge, Louisiana area, Major Louis Perdomo, whose team was in Dallas, Texas, and Major Malcolm Wilson III, who his team was in support out in Detroit, Michigan. So we'll do that. That's coming up next here on In Focus.
This is Brian Olson. I'm a Big Red One soldier and commanding the 1st Infantry Division Sustainment Brigade. And we were tasked by United States Northern Command, which provides oversight of defense activities in the continental United States. So we were tasked to assist local authorities in their response to COVID-19 and mitigation measures. Local authorities requested additional medical capability in case the local hospitals or clinics did not have the capacity to take care of the patients that they expected to see after the outbreak. And so the United States military coordinated with the local authorities and sent some medical capabilities to various hot spots around the country. Our region is in the center of the country, so FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, regions 5, 6, and 7 were focused on for us. And we as the Sustainment Brigade provided life support to those medical teams. They came from all over, the medical teams, and we sent these forward assessment sustainment teams to meet those medical personnel when they came in, provide them lodging, food support, meals, water, laundry support, Wi-Fi services, and backup capability for supplies, whether that's personal protective equipment or medical supplies if necessary. We did that through our contracting capabilities, our commodity management, and personnel accountability. So that's what those FAST teams did. The forward assessment support teams were made up of a multifunctional group of highly skilled and motivated soldiers that went to, in our case, three of these hotspots in Detroit, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Dallas, Texas, to meet and do medical screening of medical personnel from the Defense Department, and then provided by contract the life support for those medical teams as they undertook the setting up and provision of medical services in case the local communities needed additional support.
Okay, so kind of a tall task.
Tall guy.
Yeah. Is this something that has always been in existence, or was it just created for this specific pandemic?
It is discrete, unique capability. So in the sustainment world of the U.S. Army, we pride ourselves on the ability to be agile and adaptive in difficult situations. And so we identified the assessment portion of the forward assessment sustainment team was really out there to identify the requirements. And then after that, we built these teams out of the capability that resides in the 1st Sustainment Brigade headquarters. And so in our support operations section, in our personnel section, we have these capabilities. And so we built a team to come together and provide that. They all knew each other beforehand because we worked together every day. In fact, most of us just returned from a deployment to Afghanistan. And so the teams, while unique, had worked together before.
Okay. And as far as any specialties that they have on these teams, is there anything unique that stands out?
Yeah. So contracting is one. We have operational contract support trained personnel, which means that these contracting personnel, they're not by specialty. They're not military operational specialty contractors, but they're trained on identifying what the requirements are on the ground and then translating those requirements to a true contracting team to let the contract. And they work closely with the hotels and the food service personnel, that is local restaurants and other areas, to really bridge the gap between identifying what the medical personnel on ground needed and what the contracting officers were able to put together to fulfill the requirements. So contracting is one. And then once those contracts are let, we have contracting officer representatives that remain in place and really oversee the management of the contract. We also have a commodity management capability. And so we, in the sustainment brigade, provide disposition, distribution, forecasting, and management of all types of supplies that is required on the battlefield, and in this case, in this exigent contingency operation. And so those individuals were able to flex. For instance, we had an ammunition specialist who was able to flex, and because of his knowledge of how that one supply system worked, was able to manage all the classes of supply that were used in this. Medical screening, we have medics, trained medics that went with them, and they screened everyone coming in and then provide daily screening. That's temperature checks and a questionnaire about whether they felt like they had any symptoms of any illness, including COVID-19. And we did that throughout the operation and then got many of them tested at the end just in case when they went back to their home. And then personnel accountability. Trained personnel soldiers were maintained accountability of everyone on our team and those teams we supported during the arrival of the personnel, so we could track them and send up reports to our higher headquarters, so that all the way up to the Department of Defense knew exactly by name what soldiers were where, so that we could maintain their safety and accountability.
Very good. Tell me, what was the experience like for you personally?
This is a great question for our officers in charge, the OIC's staff team. Personally, I oversaw the operation as the commander and had a great opportunity to meet with senior leaders in the Army and the Joint Forces throughout the nation and understand the requirements that they had for us, translate them into operational capability. And so meeting with various general officers who are all over the nation, from the East Coast in New York to San Antonio, Texas, where the higher headquarters for this was, Fort Hood, Texas, up in to Seattle, Washington, where we had another team that was a leadership team that was over us for a period of time. So it was fantastic development for me and an opportunity to work with those senior leaders. And then the officers in charge here, the staff teams, will address their experiences actually on ground.
Okay. Do you mind if I ask one of them here? Maybe we'll start with Major Reedy.
Of course.
Aaron.
Okay. All right.
Sir, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. So tell me where your team was operating and how long you were there.
Yes, sir. So my team was comprised of five personnel. We were missioned to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and we were there for just short of 2 weeks.
Okay, just short of 2 weeks. And so how many, so you said 5 to 11 soldiers you had there?
We had five for my team, sir.
Five, okay. Did you work with both military and civilians?
We did, sir. Worked with both of those through the defense support to civil authorities. So within that, worked with Army, Navy, FEMA, different agencies that were local to the area as well.
And, you know, obviously going into these places, some places when they're hot spots, there's a lot of uncertainty about what's going on there. What are some challenges that you had to face down there in Louisiana?
So I'd say one of the challenges is just the learning process of integrating into a system, you know, with multiple agencies, Army, Navy, civilian, and just understanding how they communicate, who they communicate, and then just integrating into their processes. In addition to that, as the third team, we were prepared to deploy, and we got about a 24-hour notice to get the five team members ready and get out the door. So on a short timeline, get down there and start executing the mission.
How difficult is that when things are going really fast and you having to adjust on the fly?
It's difficult, but, you know, we're resilient, we're trained for it, and everybody was motivated, ready to go, and went out and executed it.
Very good. Did you have interactions with any COVID-19 positive patients?
No, sir. No interactions with any patients from me or the team members.
As far as the experience overall, what did you draw from it?
I think just seeing outside of the Army lens, you know, talking and coordinating with Navy, FEMA, National Guard, and seeing how they operate and how everybody is connected to go out and execute this mission and ultimately support, you know, the COVID patients and the Navy medical personnel that are supporting them as well.
And I would think, you know, a lot of folks when they sign up for military duty, they think that, you know, they're going to be there to defend the country for various purposes. Did you ever anticipate something like this?
I think it's always in the back of your mind, you know, as you can get called up and, you know, it happened and we were happy to support them.
Very good. Any other takeaways from your deployment? Did you make any new acquaintances while you're out there?
Yeah, I mean, you always, you know, one thing is just the relationships that you go and you establish and you continue those, and just the communication with them and continue to know that, you know, at some point down the road, you may work with them again. So always building those relationships.
All right. Well, I appreciate the time. I'll talk with some of your other colleagues here.
Right.
Major Louis Perdomo, right?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning. Major Perdomo, where were you stationed at?
Sir, I was actually located out of the Dallas, Texas area.
All right. Love Dallas. Dallas is a great place to be. Very populated place, though, and I know that there's probably quite a bit of stuff going on down there behind the scenes. What was the experience like for you?
It was a very rewarding experience to some extent. You know, obviously a terrible time in our country with the COVID-19, but happy to have been able to go down to Dallas, Texas area and provide some support to, you know, to our personnel within the United States. I had already been in Texas before. I was one station out of Fort Hood, Texas, which was one of the main organizations out of there, so a little bit familiar, so happy to have gone back.
And how long were you down in Dallas for?
My team was there for a total of 30 days.
Okay. And your team, how did you have a pretty good-sized team then for 30 days?
So I was a little bit bigger than Major Reedy's team. So I departed Fort Riley, Kansas with 7 personnel. And we took on additional 2 personnel, the unit that we replaced. We remained with 2 of their personnel that were under us to provide us some additional support. So we had a total of 9. Also, a little bit bigger, but primarily made up of personnel, as Colonel Olson explained, that were either medics, you know, providing for medical screening. We had some personnel for the personnel accountability, for the tracking of everybody that comes into the Dallas, Texas area and also departing. And then a lot of the contracting, that was our main effort there. and then also a little bit of commodity management knowledge.
Okay. And as far as specific tasks, you talked a little bit on that here. Is there anything that you did with any patients there, any COVID positive patients?
So no, so our team was primarily there is to provide logistical support. As mentioned, I would say our two main pieces there was contracting. We provided all of the support and coordination, you know, for the Navy personnel. In our case, we were providing support to what we call the EMF, the Expeditionary Medical Facility. Highly trained medical personnel comprised of physicians, nurses, general medical personnel such as medics and things like that. But so we provided all of their life support, their lodging, hotels. We made sure we put in contracts in place for food. We also went ahead and took care of the contracting for the location in which they were going to set up for the medical facility and things like that. But Texas, luckily, the situation did not get as bad as possibly expected. So Dallas was able to take care of the medical care themselves. And at no point did we actually end up standing up the medical facility or treat any personnel.
All right. Well, that's good to hear. I mean, ready to go just in case, but I think that's good news for everybody that didn't actually need to get to use it too much. Was there any challenges that your team faced?
I would say the biggest challenge in the beginning was the next individual that she'll interview is Malcolm Wilson. So both of us, within about a 24-hour notification, we both, the other team and I, departed the same day, so we had about a 24-hour period. So a lot of that is getting the team ready. Luckily, our unit, Colonel Olson, our commander, we already had personnel identified, and we were kind of already starting to work towards it. So it's always just getting everybody ready, you know, and then executing and going out there. But the other piece is the environment in which we work. In this case, we're supporting what we call a DISCA mission. Defense support to the civil authority. So with that said, it was a different experience for myself. There's a lot of civilian organizations and entities such as FEMA was one of the major government organizations that were on ground. And we also worked a lot with their fire department, which a lot of their leadership was put in charge of some of the management of their personnel, and then also working in a joint environment. I had worked a little bit before with the Navy, but not as much as we did on this mission, much less highly specialized medical personnel such as doctors and nurses and things like that. But so going into an environment like that and things like that, it's a little bit different, a little bit challenging, but very rewarding. Luckily, you know, everybody was there with the same mission, to provide support to the American people, to Dallas and Texas. And we had a good handoff also from the unit that we replaced. So a little bit challenging, but executed.
Yeah, and that's all you can ask for, I suppose. Well, great. I'm glad you had a good experience down there. Bring on Major Malcolm Wilson III, and tell me, I'm going to guess, if he went to Dallas and the other one went to Louisiana, did you go to Chicago then?
It's a great guess there, but no, we actually were in Detroit.
Ah, okay. Well, tell me.
Now, in fairness, sir, we did actually send a team to do a pre-deployment site survey to Chicago. I don't want to take over your question, but Roger, we actually had a robust enough team that we were prepared to split off and actually execute operations in Chicago if it was required. But in fact, it was not required at the end, though.
Okay. I had a 50-50 shot of getting that right, according to my release here. So, well, tell me, I didn't hear too much about Detroit. And we've heard Chicago in the news quite a bit, but specifically in Detroit, what was your team tasked with?
Sure. So the state of Michigan, similar to the other states, their governor had requested assistance through FEMA, and what that is referred to as a mission assignment. The Department of Defense gets that request from FEMA and the Department of Health and Human Services, and in fact responded with a standardized task force. Those are referred to as Urban Augmentation Medical Task Forces, so UAMTFs, because we just love our acronyms. And what that looked like was an 85-person team comprised of multidisciplinary medical professionals. And those personnel or those task force were aligned against each hotspot based on need. And so our mission in Detroit at specifically the TCF Center was where they had stood up an alternate care facility and aligned a UAMTF of 85 personnel against that mission to provide medical support to COVID-positive patients who the Detroit health system needed assistance with to just streamline their own operations. So our mission specifically was to ensure that those 85 medical providers were actually able to conduct operations without being concerned about where they were going to sleep, where they were going to eat, or any other transportation concerns. And so we were really the grease in the wheels as far as making sure that they were able to conduct their operations smoothly.
Well, that's great to hear. Did you maybe talk a little bit about your takeaways there and your experience, what this mission was like for you?
Well, on a couple different fronts. Personally, it was very rewarding in the sense that I was born and raised in Michigan and less than 2 hours north of where we conducted operations, actually. And to see that the federal government response was able to provide the state a timely solution to a problem that they faced was very personally rewarding, especially having grown up and lived in that state. From a professional perspective, being able to work with U.S. Army reservists, National Guardsmen, and then also integrate into the Michigan Incident Management or Incident Command Team, that was helpful as well. One of the challenges we faced was that the incident management team in Michigan was replacing their supply personnel about every 2 weeks. And so our ability to link in with them and integrate with their processes really allowed us to help them bridge those gaps when they had a change of continuity in their leadership. And that allowed the supply chain to function quite well when N95 masks, Tyvek suits were becoming critical importance so the medical personnel could conduct their mission. So both personally and professionally rewarding. We don't often get to work with the National Guard and the Reserve component. And so having the ability to do that and also network in with other federal agencies and government, or rather state agencies, was a confirmation that what we train to do every day is in fact executable and it is a worthwhile effort to train for.
All right. Well, did you, I've asked the other soldiers this here, but did you have any direct interactions with COVID patients?
No, neither myself or my team had any direct contact.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, is there any possibility that these teams could be called again?
No, that's a great question. I would expect that as the mission evolves and as COVID has the potential to evolve as well, that we would be on standby to provide that same type of support if the federal government is called upon to do the same.
Well, you train for so many things here, and I don't know if a pandemic is one that's ever in anybody's mind here, but now that you've lived through one here and kind of participated, and this could go to all three of you here, how ready will you be the next time, do you think?
Sir, this is Major Wilson again. I would expect that the experience we've had over the last couple months, in truth, prepares us not only to be successful if this were to occur again, but also to refine the training that we do right now and to refine how we prepare our teams to be on a short string for deployment to respond to these type of events. I know our brigade commander may be able to lend a perspective in terms of what our future missions may be at the brigade, and if you're okay with it, I would refer to him for further comment.
Okay, sure.
Hey, that's awesome, Malcolm. I appreciate that. So, Brandon, that's a great question. And in fact, our brigade is going to be aligned starting in August for an 18-month period with U.S. Northern Command to be on call to provide for any kind of contingency relief for the citizens of the U.S. and the continental United States and our protectorate. So that often is seen in, if the local areas get overwhelmed and do not have the capacity or capability to support disaster relief, a pandemic is a form of disaster relief, but that could be a hurricane or a earthquake or
It could be a fire, extensive fire in the local areas that they could call upon us. And we are continuing to train and be ready to respond to any crisis, whether here or abroad. But we are specifically going to be assigned to U.S. Army Northern Command again in August to provide for disaster relief efforts or in continued response to the COVID-19 pandemic.
I know everyone's appreciative of everything that you do, and we don't say it enough, and we say it as much as we can, but thank you for everything you've done, not just for us here locally, but all of our neighbors across the United States. And I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you for your time, Brandon. We really appreciate it.